God bless you, Calvary and friends. This is Pastor Walton with this week's message. And the scripture for this week is taken from the book of Numbers, the 14th chapter, verses 39 through 45, from the New King James Version. And the word of God reads as follows. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly, and they rose up early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Now, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword, because you have turned away from the Lord. The Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing, understanding and application of his holy word. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. I want to preach as God shall guide from the subject, Why We Should Wait, a perspective on the extended Wisconsin stay-at-home order. Why We Should Wait, a perspective on the extended Wisconsin stay-at-home order. It is my contention that coronavirus was permitted by our sovereign and all-wise God for purposes we can all hint at, but only he knows. However, our loving God never sets us up to fail, only to succeed. The verse that keeps coming to mind throughout this entire time is 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. This judgment begins with the church. Why should we as the church expect people who don't know the living God to follow him? But we do know him, so our lives need to show it. 1 Peter 4:17 adds, "For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" While this was still an epidemic, not a pandemic, I said in a sermon that this was going to be a great opportunity to share with folks we know how to be saved. Justification, regeneration, and sanctification. This is a time for Christians to listen to medical experts, keep up with what is being said and attempted in government at all levels, but at the end of the day, know that God is still in charge. On this past Thursday, Governor Evers called off school for the remainder of the year. According to an April 16th Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article entitled, "Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers Will Work with Other Midwest Governors on How to Lift Coronavirus Restrictions, Reopen Economies," Governor Evers is working with governors from Ohio, Michigan, Illinois, Minnesota, Indiana, and Kentucky to, quote, "craft a plan to lift restrictions together that relies on meeting the following goals," and here they are: sustain control of the rate of new infections and hospitalizations, enhanced ability to test and trace, sufficient healthcare capacity to handle resurgence, and best practices for social distancing in the workplace, unquote. According to another April 16th Journal Sentinel article entitled "Tony Evers Closes Schools for the Year, Extends Order to Stay at Home Until May 26th, columnist Molly Beck detailed the serious opposition Evers faces from many in the state legislature and cited the fact that the Trump administration released an 18-page document to governors with guidelines for reopening their economies in phases. And I quote, in it, meaning the Trump document, Beck reports, states should not seek to reopen businesses and schools until the state sees at least 14 days of a downward trend in new cases of the virus and has robust testing in place. Wisconsin hasn't yet met either benchmark," unquote. It is obvious that the state of Wisconsin is not yet ready to be reopened as of the time of this sermon, which is April the 17th, 2020. According to an April 8th CNN article by Devin Cole, former President Barack Obama said it would not be feasible to relax current measures to combat the spread of coronavirus without, quote, a robust system of testing and monitoring, something we have yet to put in place nationwide, unquote. Unfortunately, my sisters and brothers, the state is divided. The nation is divided, with even some in the state legislature threatening the employment of the Office of the Secretary of the Department of Health Services. Some are threatening legislative action against the Wisconsin governor's decision, and others are arguing that only the parts of Wisconsin experiencing the virus should be left closed. What would happen if we just supported opening up the economy prematurely, as many want to do, or in socioeconomic piecemeal, as others want to do, and put the economy over the health concerns of people who make the economy work? There's a word in Numbers 14, 39 through 45 that I believe we can think about in reference to the situation I've laid out. There's nothing new under the sun. According to Numbers chapter 13, chapter right before where we are, 12 Israelite spies, and many of you know this story, were sent by Moses to spy out Canaan. 10 returned saying Canaan was impenetrable, while 2, Joshua and Caleb, believed God's promise and said it could be taken. At this confusion brought by the 10 tribal leaders with such a negative report, the people wanted Moses, Aaron, Joshua, and Caleb to be stoned. Then in verse 11 of the 14th chapter, God and Moses have a conversation. If Moses had been arrogant, he would not have responded as he did in verses 13 through 19. Moses actually asked pardon for the people. And in verse 20, God pardons the people, and God made 4 things clear. Excuse me. Number 1, the nation would be spared, but the unbelieving generation would not see the promised land. Number 2, they would change course away from Canaan and move toward the Red Sea. Number 3, all Israelites 20 and older would fall in the wilderness, and their children would be shepherds in the wilderness, a year for each day the spies were in Canaan. And then number 4, only Caleb and Joshua would be permitted to enter Canaan. We see that God's wrath immediately poured out on the 10 spies who spread the bad report. They died of a plague, according to Numbers 14 and 37. This brings us to our focal text, verses 39 through 45. And I'd like to reread it for you. Then Moses told these words to all the children of Israel, and the people mourned greatly. And they rose early in the morning and went up to the top of the mountain, saying, "Here we are, and we will go up to the place which the Lord has promised, for we have sinned." And Moses said, "Now, why do you transgress the command of the Lord? For this will not succeed. Do not go up, lest you be defeated by your enemies, for the Lord is not among you. For the Amalekites and the Canaanites are there before you, and you shall fall by the sword. Because you have turned away from the Lord will not be with you." But they presumed to go up to the mountaintop. Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah. Here are some application points. Number one, rebellion is easily cloaked in rhetoric and religiosity. Rebellion is easily cloaked in rhetoric and religiosity. There are more rebellious folk in the church than out of the church. Why? Why? Because when Christians sin, we know better. These people in the text were the covenant people of God, yet thought that they could cloak their rebellion by rising early in the morning and going to tell God they sinned. At the end of the day, no matter what this crisis is affecting, this crisis is affecting everybody's pockets. As a Christian, will you seek God and pray and ask for His divine, perfect and divine will to be done in this situation? Or will you become impatient to the point of recklessness? God is making us all wait. Everybody has to wait. The rich have to wait. The poor have to wait. The middle class have to wait. The black, the African American have to wait. The white, the Caucasian have to wait. Latinx have to wait. God is making us all wait. Our task is to do what we should do while we wait, but to realize that this is a worldwide call of God to the church and all humanity. To the church, God wants us to act like the church, and God wants people to be saved. This is a time to make the most of this time to share Christ with others, especially the people who live with you. This window of time will close, and one day this pandemic will be over. Are you listening to God? We all need to answer that question for ourselves. How will we be closer to God when this is over than we were when it began? It appears that when it comes to this stay-at-home order in the state legislature, there's always a three-letter word, but. Sometimes when God speaks to us, we are guilty also of saying, but. Let's seek to be more submissive to the Lord and move away from rebellion. Number two, they refused to listen to their leader. Moses was their leader. 1 John 4 says, "Try the Spirit by the Spirit." If you're not saved, you can't do that because you receive the Holy Spirit when you are saved, according to the Gospel of John chapter 3. Now, nobody agrees with everything any leader does, but I am heartened by the fact that the governor of Wisconsin is working with his colleague governors for a solution. I do not see his decision as reckless. It may not have been what I wanted to hear, but as other leaders in Milwaukee have spoken out, this is about the health of an entire community and nation. It's about our moving together for all, not just some Wisconsinites. And then number three, thirdly and finally, they went on anyway and got beat down. Number three, they went on anyway and got beat down. One commentator I consulted drew attention to the fact that in verse 44 of the 14th chapter, the people, in disobedience to their leader, marched presumptuously. That is, they were swollen, puffed up. And what happened? The record says in 14:44b and 45, and I quote, "Nevertheless, neither the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord nor Moses departed from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who dwelt in that mountain came down and attacked them and drove them back as far as Hormah." My sisters and brothers, if we fail to observe the stay-at-home measure, scientists have warned that the failure to adhere could have devastating effects long-term. I'm done now, but friends and family, our God knows about waiting. I know we've all been waiting. We're all ready to get back outside. We're ready to get rid of these masks, and we're ready to get rid of these gloves. But God has a purpose in this. And God does know about waiting. God, our God, is a patient God. He waits on us every day. Our God waits on us. How does he wait on us? He feeds us. He clothes us. He provides for us. He forgives us. He loves us. He makes ways for us. He protects us. He defends us. And he is so faithful to us. And I can say much more that I don't have time enough to say. He sent Jesus Christ to die for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. He's waiting for us to tell more people about him during this time right now, y'all, so that more people can be saved, so that families can be saved, so that parents and children can be together living in the household with one accord. So even as we're waiting, there's still a lot of good we can do. We can restore relationship. We can pray together. We can talk together. We can play games. We can watch movies together. We can enhance one another. We can decide to be better now so that we can be better when this whole thing is over. I just believe that God is bringing families together. May not see it everywhere, but I just believe that God is doing a mighty work in the midst of this pandemic. And if you want to be a part of it, all you got to do is ask. Just ask. There's so many that need to be saved, and some of them are living in your own houses. Ephesians 2:8-10 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." We don't save ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no man can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Calvary and friends, I know it has been a long time since we last saw one another on March the 15th. But please know that God is still on the throne. God is still God. God is still in charge. Let's continue to read the scripture. Stay in the word, y'all. Let's continue to pray. And that's right on our website. Read the word. Pray the prayer. Let's take advantage of our newly revised website and our giving app. Don't forget to give or drop your contributions at the church on Saturdays between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m. Remember, we are still the church. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail." Hallelujah. Let's pray together. God, we love you, and God, we trust you. You're worthy of our praise. You're worthy of our trust. You said you would never leave us, nor would you forsake us. And you haven't, even in the midst of this great pandemic. We ask your blessing, and I pray your choice benediction upon everyone listening, that you would enhance their life and help them to know what your perfect and divine will is for their lives, for their family, if they're living alone, if they live with a family, whatever their life is, Lord, speak to them that their life might be better, more full of praise, more full of joy, and full of purpose. God, we love you and we praise you. We pray for salvation for someone who's not saved. We pray, oh God, for someone without a church home, that you would lead them to the place you would have them to carry out their discipleship. In the name of Jesus, we pray and give thanks. Amen.